1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind, who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that we might indeed be encouraged by these words, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Excuse me. As a minister, I go to a lot of funerals. But as, like all of you, I occasionally go to funerals where I'm not ministering. The last funeral I went to, where I was a mourner, so to speak, a member of the congregation, was early this year, to the funeral of the principal of the theological college that I had attended, who died suddenly. And all the talk after the service was, what a great service that was, and how uplifting it had been. Seems weird, doesn't it? Seems a bit strange to go to a funeral of a man in his 50s and to come out saying, what an uplifting service. The service, of course, had been filled with grief as well. His wife and children were there, and there was substantial and great grieving in the service. But for most of us, or at least the people I spoke to, and for myself personally, there was a great desire to keep serving the Lord Jesus as we came out of that funeral service. And that's because Christians face death differently from everybody else. And there's something which we can know, which enables us to face death differently to the rest of mankind. What was happening in that particular service is that there was proper grieving, but it was not without hope. It was with hope. It was with a rich and full and eternal hope. And that's where Paul starts in this passage. As he writes to these Thessalonian Christians, he wants to encourage them that they can face death differently. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death. There's something for us to be informed about, to know, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind. Yes, you do grieve, but you don't grieve like the rest of mankind, who have no hope. We are to be people who grieve with hope. And that particular funeral service was a great expression of that. It's a natural question for Christians to ask. Paul has been very clear throughout the whole of 1 Thessalonians that we live between the first coming of Christ and the second coming, his return. Now, he's made that very clear. That's his primary framework for understanding what it means to live as a Christian. To know what Christ has done, to know what he will come to do, and also to know what he is doing now. You see that framework here in verse 14, for example. He refers to the Jesus who died and rose again, his first coming. And then in verse 16, he refers to Jesus' second coming, the Lord himself will come down from heaven. But the whole passage is about how we're supposed to live now and understand things now in between those two great comings of Christ. So it's a natural question. What about those who started to follow Jesus after his death and resurrection? They've started to follow Jesus, but they've died before Jesus has returned. What happens to them? It's been a relevant question for the church ever since, because Jesus has yet to return. What happens to those of us who've started to follow Jesus, looking forward to that return, but have died before he has arrived? And in Thessalonica, it's a pressing question, because you'll remember that they endure severe suffering for their faith in the Jesus who died and rose and is coming back. If you're about to be martyred for following Jesus, this is a pressing question. What happens if you die before the return of the Lord Jesus? Well, Paul teaches the Thessalonians to face death differently because of the two comings of Christ. It's not just a framework to understand our timeline, but these are the events which help us to face death differently. And he turns, first of all, therefore, to the first coming of the Lord Jesus. Why do we not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope? Verse 14, because we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. It is important to recognize who Paul is talking about. He's talking to Christians about Christians. He's writing to the Thessalonian church, and he's speaking about those who die in Christ. There are more and other things to be said for other people. That's just not Paul's purpose here. There are other passages in the Bible. He does tackle it in 2 Thessalonians when he writes another letter to them. But here he's talking to Christians about Christians, seeking to encourage the Christian believers in Thessalonica. And so at the first coming of Jesus, he died and rose. Now, death's never a good thing in the Bible. We were created to live. We weren't created to die. We were created to live by the God of life. Death is seen in the scriptures as a punishment for turning from God. Death is an enemy to be feared. And at the first coming of the Lord Jesus, he died under that punishment. He died in our place, therefore, we understand as Christian people, bearing our punishment for us. We believe that he died and rose again, that the enemy was conquered, that death was taken on and overcome. If we believe that Jesus died and rose in this way, then something else follows. Verse 14, we believe that Jesus died and rose, and so, this teaches us, we know, we believe, that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. In him, in Christ. If we believe in Jesus Christ, then a deep union is created between us and him. We moved to Oswald Street 12 years ago, and when we moved, Jill was a very different shape from the shape she is now, because she was 8.5 months pregnant with Emily. When Jill moved, Emily moved. So you could kind of say, yeah, Emily lived in Blackpool for a little bit, and then she moved to Oswald Street, because she was united to Jill in a very literal way. Where Jill went, Emily went. Faith union with Christ, that believers are in Christ, means the same thing. Where Christ goes, we go. Christ died and rose. So if we are in him, we die and rise too. We travel the same path that he did because of that link. That's what Paul means by the phrase, in him. We believe that Jesus died and rose. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have died in him. He will bring them with him, and they will rise, as we see at the end of verse 16. The dead in Christ will rise first. So united with Christ that where he is, they are. So the Christian brother or sister, in answer to the Thessalonians' question, what happens to those who die before Christ returns? So the Christian brother or sister who has died is with Christ, is united to Christ, and cannot ever be apart from Christ. That is the depth of the union which believing in Christ brings. Now we're playing the part of those who are still alive on earth, we will not be in front of them, in the queue, so to speak. They are in front of us, verse 15. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. The Christian, believing, brother or sister, who has died, is with Christ, is united to Christ, and cannot ever be apart from Christ. So the first coming of the Lord Jesus makes an enormous difference to how we face death. We are united with Christ. Well, the second coming of the Lord Jesus also changes how we face death. For everything will be completed at Jesus' second coming. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven. The personal bodily return of the risen and glorified Lord Jesus. He himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Those two verses are all about the total completion of all God's purposes for his world. Now, I have the joy of filling in a few tax forms each year. I have to fill in three, not because I pretend to be three people as a sort of dodge, but because I help some other people with their tax forms. And you can now do it online. And as with any long form online, you get your progress bar. So after about 5 hours, you've completed 12% of your tax form, and so on and so on and so on. You get the percentage that's been completed, and then eventually the whole bar is full. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, you can put your head down and say, done it. Completed. Well, if there were a progress bar on God's promises, and it doesn't quite work like that, but the illustration will do. Every promise, every purpose, every wrong put right, every Christian raised to live forever, everything about the whole of creation completed. That's what verses 16 and 17 are about. Everything is completed, everything made new, every promise and purpose complete. You see, the loud command which the Lord Jesus comes with from heaven. That's the great battle cry, the great defeat of the enemies of God, including the final enemy, I think, death itself. The voice of the archangel means that all the hosts of heaven accompany the great Lord of heaven as he himself comes. The hosts of heaven to fight the enemies of God and to welcome believers in God. And the great trumpet call, the gathering call for all believers to the new heavens and the new earth. That's how the Lord Jesus comes. Nobody will miss this. You are definitely going to hear it. It's a noise, loud voice, trumpets. And the dead in Christ rise first. They accompany him as he comes. But if that is what is being ushered in, as we say, if it's the new heavens and the new earth, then they will need to rise in such a way that they would be suitable inhabitants of an eternal kingdom. See, as we read in John's Gospel, we don't know what we will be like, but we will be like him. Because he is risen. Risen never to die again. Risen suitably for an eternal kingdom where he can live forever. And so when Christ comes in this way, the dead in Christ rise first. They're made suitable occupants of an eternal kingdom, like Jesus, risen bodily from the dead, never to die again. But what about those of us who are still on earth? What about those who are covering our ears because of the great noise and looking up and seeing this great coming of the Lord Jesus? What are those about who are still alive on earth? Well, alive on earth, yes, but to be honest, not alive in a way suitable for eternity. I'm just looking around, thinking, anybody feeling that their body's up for eternity? Because I'm not. I did some walking last week. I'm still stiff. We've had hospital operations. I mean, to be honest, I only need to look at you. We do not have bodies that are suitable for an eternal life. We don't. So we who are left still need that transformation into a resurrected body that will be suitable for this kingdom, this eternal kingdom that the Lord Jesus is bringing in. I cannot enter eternity without some major transformation. We too need that resurrection. And that's what he refers to in verse 17 then. So this great coming from heaven, and all those in Christ's trail who have been the dead in Christ, who have risen first. After that, we who are still alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, transformed, suitable for the eternal kingdom. And so we will be with the Lord forever. You see, we as believers on earth are no less united with Christ than those who have already died in Christ. We are just as united as they are. Where he goes, we go. And so when he comes, we go to be with him. We will be like him when he appears. Jesus, on his way down from heaven, with all the host of heaven and all the dead in Christ who have risen, and we're lifted up and we tag on the back as Christ comes down to earth to rule forever in the new heavens and the new earth. And so no wonder Paul says at the end of verse 17, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Because in those words, you have every good purpose of God fulfilled. That is total completion. We will be with the Lord forever. Do you remember what happened in Genesis 3? That's when we stopped being with the Lord. We were banished from the garden. God made his promises, and through the Bible there's a growing picture of being brought back to be with God. You've got the promises to Abraham, then you've got the tabernacle in the heart of God's people in the Old Testament, and the temple that is built permanently in the land. You've then got Jesus himself, God in the flesh, living amongst his people. And Paul says, on this day, we and all who are in Christ, whether we died before he came or whether we're still living, we will be with the Lord forever. John writes, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. It is done. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Encourage Christian brothers and sisters with these words. Let's face death differently from the rest of mankind. Not a single believer, dead or alive, will be lost to the new heavens and the new earth. He brings those who've died with him. They will rise first, and after that, will be caught up to. Not a single believer, dead or alive, will be lost to the new heavens and the new earth. every single believer, dead or alive, will be raised, made alive, and transformed for the new heaven and the new earth. Every single thing necessary for this has been done by the Lord Jesus in his first coming, his death and resurrection, and will be utterly completed at his second coming. Do you not want to keep following this Lord Jesus? Do you not want this setting free from the fear of death and slavery to death? Should we not face death differently because of our Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, we grieve. Of course we do. But we do not grieve as those who have no hope. I hope that at the next funeral of a believer, it is this gospel which allows us both to grieve and to rejoice. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we cannot thank you enough for the love you have shown us in your Son, the Lord Jesus. He came and bore death in our place, so that we might be set free from the power of death. Father, thank you that by believing in him, died and risen, we know that we cannot be separated from him. And therefore, because he is risen, bodily, in glory for eternity, so we will be risen bodily in glory for eternity. Father, we thank you that your great purpose is to transform, to make new all things, that all the things that trouble us in this life will be gone, that new heavens and new earth awaits us. But Father, we recognize that this is simply your grace towards us. You sent Jesus. He died and rose for us. He will return for us. He will transform us. So Father, strengthen our faith in him, his first and second coming, that nothing can separate us from your love in him. Strengthen our faith and keep us following him so that we can indeed look at death differently as his people. Father, comfort us in this way, in Jesus' name. Amen.